Fred Film Radio, Venice Film Festival, Italy.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt McCucci from the 79th Venice International Film Festival, and I'm very pleased to be joined by Georgia Oakley, the director of Blue Jean, and we also have the actress of the film, the leading actress of the film, Rosie McEwen. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks for having
well
us.
Well done. Got the name right. Well done.
Presenting the film in the Giornate degli Autori Strand here in Venice, so it's very exciting. It's a lovely day, and it's great to be talking with you. So this is kind of the obligatory question, just to kind of let our listeners know a little bit about the film. Georgia, would you mind maybe telling us a few, lines about the storyline and the plot?
Sure. So Blue Jean is set in 1988, and it tells the story of Jean, who is a lesbian PE teacher, physical education teacher, who was working the year that Thatcher's government brought in a new law called Section 28 in the UK. And that law said that it was illegal to promote homosexuality in schools and local governments. So it's a character study, really, of one woman and the various pressures on her life that sort of culminate in a bit of an unraveling, let's say.
I mean, it's crazy, you know, when you look at this, that it happened not so long ago when we think about it. So the Thatcher years kind of remain, you know, really difficult to look back on, you know. Do you think with this film, you're kind of trying to keep that memory of those years alive and let people know that at any moment it can happen again?
Well, I think one of the main things is also that the law wasn't abolished until 2003, yeah, which is when I was at school and when Georgia was at school, and I had no idea.
I didn't know either.
So, yes, Thatcher's years are still very reminiscent and prevalent in our society and in discussions, but actually it was how long that law lasted and how much it was overlaps people today and how little that we all know about it. I didn't know about it until I actually read the script. And then when I went to research Article 28, there's so little out there, yet it affected so many people in a really intense way, not only the teachers but children at these schools who were struggling with their sexuality and had no one to turn to.
Yeah, I mean, in the film we do see that, like, you know, the character that you play sort of finds herself in the situation where she could potentially actuate change just by being herself, which I thought was a very powerful thing in the film. Did you feel that struggle as you were interpreting that?
Yeah, I mean, in a very different way, in no political way, do I suddenly kind of feel that still in life? Sometimes we all just want to be ourselves, and there's certain things that we can't, whether it's being a woman or a lesbian or whatever it is. As the fact that we can't all live so freely as our most authentic self feels like a jail. I mean, it's just crazy that that even exists. So yes, I feel that in some ways, but absolutely no way in the extremity that Jean would have felt that.
Yeah. Getting back to the timelessness of the film, because even though, you know, obviously the narrative takes place in a specific time and setting and place, it did feel very timeless too. Did you kind of want it to feel like that, the film?
Yeah, that was always my intention from the beginning. I think there was a concern as we began pitching the film that perhaps it would be seen to be too much of a kind of cultural relic or a throwback or a time capsule of this very specific moment in time, and that could be something that might alienate viewers. So I think there was a sort of discussion about the timelessness of it at that point, and the fact that we consciously wanted to bring people's awareness not only to what they were watching, which is a depiction of something happening in 1988, but for people to make their own connections from what was going on in the film to what might be going on now in various parts of the world, and that was going on when we started developing the film in 2018. There was a lot of backlash around this kind of thing in schools in the UK, and so, but also just from a personal taste sort of standpoint, I wasn't, my influences for the film were more kind of, let's say, classic films from the 80s that if you were to watch now, I don't feel like it's that obvious exactly what year those films were made. Whereas if you watch films that are set in the 80s, they often have a very, very specific look, and they kind of create a slight homogenization in terms of the way people wore their hair or the clothes that they wore. And so, yeah, I had many conversations with the costume designer and the production designer and the hair and makeup designer to try and take influence from the actual time and classic movies from the time, as opposed to creating a space that feels to us now like 80s in terms of what we've this idea that we've developed that isn't necessarily authentically 80s.
Still though, building that world is a fascinating aspect in itself, because it does take place in the 80s. Did that in any way impact your interpretation, being in that world in another sort of time frame?
I don't know. I don't think too much, because at the end of the day, she's still a human, and you don't want to feel like she's too far away from you. You have to bring a lot of yourself to it. But I think in terms of the research I did, absolutely, because I wanted to surround myself with the kind of newspaper articles, the sort of marginalized homophobia that she was exposed to every single day, whether that was reading newspapers, as I said, or watching certain television shows, and just getting into that headspace of what she would have seen, would have been her sort of external experience of the world at that time. But in terms of approaching her as a human, no.
Well, thinking back to those times, I mean, I'm not an expert in it. And as we kind of, you know, mentioned earlier in the interview, there's so much that we don't know about it, which is ridiculous, because we probably definitely should, you know. So I do remember, from being a great, huge music fan, as well as a film fan, that it was really the arts, in a way, that kind of, formed a resistance against this sort of, these things that were brought in during the Thatcher years, and, you know, this, the issue of homosexuality, and other things too. Do you think that art has that power still? Because even though it's possibly not this specific thing that we, you know, these specific issues that we have to deal with, there's other stuff happening, and it's almost surreal that sometimes when we hear about them, you know. Is art still, does it still have that power?
Definitely. And I think, I mean, my favorite kinds of films are the ones that sort of Trojan horse big political ideas or ideas around resistance into a story, into a the framework of just a good story that could be that's accessible to anybody, and so it broadens the audience that of the types of people that might engage with a certain theme or a certain political idea. And I think film is extremely powerful as a result of that. And and it was in the 80s, as you say. I mean, Ian McKellen and various other actors, you hear their voices in the radio and the film. Ian McKellen came out on the radio as part of a discussion around Section 28. And, yeah, actors who are in the public eye have a lot of attention, and I think that they have a lot of power when it comes to sort of getting young people to engage with certain ideas. And
yeah. Rosie,
I guess I would say also it's about informing people, and the way to inform people is to sort of appeal to their emotional side. And yeah, you can read an article or hear someone in the pub talking about something that happened to their friend or whatever, but sitting down and watching something for a few hours and really personally, emotionally attaching to that story, that's the kind of stuff you hold on to, and that's what you won't really forget. And that's when your own attitude perhaps starts to shift, because you think, God, I didn't know that. And actually, it's just about informing people what went on.
Right. We have to unfortunately wrap it up, but it's been a great conversation, and thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. I remind the listeners the film is called Blue Jean, and that this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.